It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are looking live at VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, here is Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel.
All right, let's have some fun. VSiN Prime Time presented by DraftKings. I'm Joe Serralo. That's Jared Smith. We're here live with you for the next 3 hours from the Circa Sportsbook. Jared, we've got a busy day. We are less than a week away from the NFL draft. The draft movement never ending in the final days leading up to the first round. We've got NBA winner go home action, two games tonight. Each conference vying for the 8 seed here. We've got a full baseball slate, and we've got two hosts right here who love to give out baseball winners, pitcher props. We'll get to all of it. Great guest lineup. Jared, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. The draft really is starting to formulate a big chunk of my brain. It's really starting to take up the headspace. The NBA, somehow, some way, I've ignored the NBA more this year than any other season that I've done this. And 4-for-4 in the playoffs so far. It's like a hot crap dice. You know, you got to keep rolling until you crap out. We'll see tonight. I got a couple picks for you. Actually, I have two picks in the first game and then a late prop. And really, you're right. The baseball stuff, Joe, to me, that's where my heart is every day. We had our first inning pitches prop earlier today. AJ Puke vomiting all over the mound in the first inning. That was fun, but yeah, we'll have some fun tonight. A lot of baseball, a lot of NFL, and of course the NBA center stage.
It's always a good day when we start by making some money. You hit your puke prop.
Yeah.
I hit the Cubs money line yesterday.
Nice.
Gave out the over 7.5. Then the game got rained out today. That number went up to 9.5. I believe it still went over, but I said just give me the Cubs on the money line at home. Let's start with the NBA because, like I said, we are less than an hour away from tip. Chicago, Miami in South Beach. Where else would you want to be than South Beach on a nice April night? Heat opened -2.5. Chicago now +105 on the money line, getting too little movement in favor of the Bulls on that one, as you see on your screen. The total was 205 when it opened, now 208. Bulls total, I was eyeing that yesterday when I was on here with Tim, still 101.5. I still love that. Jared, you look at the options here to choose from. What catches your eye?
Well, I think, you know, first thing you got to handicap is the travel for Chicago. And, you know, after their game, now they got to go down to Miami. So short, quick turnaround, obviously advantage Heat, but they had to travel as well. But you also need to look at, well, who plays well without Jimmy Butler on the floor. So to me, it's Chicago's, three-point defense that's really been a struggle. I'll give you Hawkes over 1.5 made threes at +150. He went 2-for-4 against the Sixers. I think Chicago's defense, which has just been brutal, allowing three-point shots this year, to me, that's where you want to attack. So which Heat shooter is going to have the hot hand? I like the plus money on Hawkes. I like the plus money on Highsmith as well. I thought he played really well the other night, even though in a losing effort. when Jimmy Butler, you could tell late in that game, and we were on, right? We were on the, I wish I went higher on my Nicholas Batum. So on the other night in the playing game, we gave out a Nicholas Batum same game parlay to hit 1-3 and he hit 5. I wish I just bet Batum. And then we paired it with Butler over, I think it was 23.5. But the injury happened to Jimmy really early in that game. And you could just see it was a struggle for him. The jump shot, getting up and down the floor. He had that steal and a dunk in the second half. And then it was just like, you know, looks like me running up and down the, you know, the YMCA floor over there. But I think there's other options on this Heat team. Tyler Hero is going to be a very popular choice tonight to make a bunch of threes. I think that market's been beat up pretty good. I saw some really sharp cappers on that earlier today. So I went in a different direction. Again, the Bulls allow the second most three-point attempts and makes per game this year. So this is a Chicago defense that's playing on short rest on the road against the really good. Just because Jimmy Butler's not playing, Miami is not going to crawl into a hole and just quit. Like, this is not the makeup of this Heat team. They have good players on this roster. They're obviously not as good without him, but that's being priced into the market. So I think you target the players that have performed well without Jimmy on the floor. Hawkes played great the other night. I think he carries that over. And Highsmith, again, over in 4 of 5 games over the last month, without Jimmy Butler on the floor. Butler's missed some time, and Highsmith has been one of the guys that has played well in his absence, averaging almost 2 3-point makes in 16 games without Butler. So those two are plus money. Again, I think it's the Miami shooters on the outside that hopefully can carry him tonight.
So it sounds like we might be on different sides of this one. And I agree with the Hawkes props. I think Hawkes, if someone's really going to step up and try to fill Jimmy's shoes, it's going to be him. But I'm not that worried about what Butler is going to be missing on the offensive side of things for Miami. To me, it's the defensive side of things and what they're going to be missing without Jimmy Butler in this one. I think a guy like Coby White's just going to go out there and absolutely eat in this matchup. Butler, obviously, would, if he was out there, he'd be limiting DeMar DeRozan. But then you have more attention on Coby White from his other players. And I just have a feeling that this is going to be a game where either DeMar DeRozan or Coby White has a good look more often than they don't. I love White over 20.5 points. Yesterday, I gave out that Bulls team total. It was over 101.5. It might have now been moved up to 103.5. I don't know, 2-point movement. I don't know if I'd take it there, but I loved it at over 101.5. I think the Bulls go down there and win. I just think that Jimmy is a huge shot to the Heat morale. And, you know, to your point, traveling, short week, but both of these teams are traveling. Both of these teams are on short turnaround. I do like Chicago in this one. You look at the night game, though. I'm having way more trouble figuring that one out. Sacramento, the Pelicans, New Orleans this year, better road team than home team. They're hosting the Kings. What's your best analysis in this one?
Well, again, big player who eats up a ton of minutes is off the floor. So we have to analyze who plays well when Zion's off the floor. The answer is Jonas Valanciunas. First of all, I love the Lithuania on Lithuania battle tonight with Sabonis and Valanciunas.
This needs Adrianus Augauskas back.
Those names just roll right off the tongue. So 11.5 points, very modest total. He's averaging 17 in 12 games this year without Zion on the floor. Averaging 17, over 11.5 in 10 of 12 without Zion on the floor. 3 games against the Kings since the start of the 23 season, so since the start of last season. 3 games without Zion on the floor, 19, 13, and 15. So, again, not high-level analysis here. There's a star player that eats up a ton of target share, shot percentage on the floor in Zion Williamson. Who plays well in his absence? Well, it is Jonas Valanciunas in these situations. So I think when you have injuries like this to star players, it makes it, I don't want to say easier to handicap, but the advantages to me become clear, like Moses parting of the sea. Like, you could just be, oh, well, that is an obvious choice right there because of the target share again, or the shot percentage, however you want to talk about it, off the floor for these teams tonight.
You know what makes me nervous in this matchup? Valanciunas obviously is going to play some really important minutes. How many minutes is he going to play? This is a guy who on average will give you anywhere from 23 to 25 minutes a night. It's a do or die, win or go home game. I imagine he's probably going to try to stretch himself out to 30. But my question is, what happens to the Pelicans when Valanciunas is not on the floor? Larry Nance, really good defender, but Sabonis, I think, has a pretty clear advantage over him.
Oh, yeah, Sabonis can have a huge game.
I mean, you could look at these two teams and what they do from beyond the arc, right? It's really interesting because it's quantity versus efficiency. You get Sacramento, who is fourth in three-pointers made per game. New Orleans, fourth in three-point efficiency, three-point field goal percentage. But I think because you have two teams that can win from beyond the arc, it's going to come down to what happens in the paint. And I think Sabonis, just being the X factor in this one, makes me lean Sacramento. It also, I don't know how much does this play a factor for you. What makes me hesitant on the Sacramento pick is that about 85% of the public is on Sacramento.
Nah, at this stage, no. I mean, if it you get significant line movement in the other direction, maybe it's a little bit of a red flag. Line hasn't really moved much. Again, I don't consider a 1-1 really a big move. You know, circuit open, Sacramento -1, and now New Orleans favored by one. Like that, it's such a significantly small win percentage flip. It's not even, you know, I know it's like, oh, favorite to a dog. It's not really that big of a move. The big move was really in the total in that game, down from 216.5 now down to 211, hovering in a lot of shops. So, again, maybe that's a little bit of Zion, probably half-baked. I think my kind of vibe from Zion leaving the game the other night, and then we heard afterwards it was like leg soreness. Like, that's not leg soreness. Like, if you're leaving that game, you're hurt. He slammed the whatever towel or something down when he was walking on the floor. You could tell he was really hurt in that game. So, you know, I think when they opened that number, to my point, probably was at least half baking in some of the fact that Zion wasn't going to be playing. I didn't see exactly when he was announced and pinpoint any movement from there. I would assume it dropped further after that. And still, though, Pelicans are probably going to close a favorite here. So it definitely gives you a little bit of pause. I think both of these games, the NBA could not have asked for a better situation with the play-in this year. I think you have, unfortunately, the stars are, you know, a little bit dampened tonight. You don't have Jimmy Butler, you don't have Zion on the floor, but you've got two pick'em games and do or dies. I mean, that's, to me, that's about as good as you can ask for. So I do expect both games to be nip and tuck. The unders have been the soup du jour in the play-in, but I don't know. I think at this point the numbers are fully baking that in. So I like the prop market. I like to try to find a little bit of value with guys knowing stars are off the floor. Maybe the prop numbers not fully baking in. Usually side total moves first, prop a little bit, you know, slower to move. So maybe you find a little bit of value in the prop market tonight going against the grain a little bit.
And if you're that's the market that you're looking at, I think your guy Valanciunas is obviously a smart guy to look
11
for.
11.5, so low.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to do a little more NBA in just a minute with Alex Barutha, but some NFL draft move. It's been the story of the week, story of the last 48 hours, really. What's going on with the number two pick? Jaden Daniels was the clear favorite yesterday morning. I had just arrived in Vegas. I woke up, he was -275. Now we're seeing, according to Adam Schefter, that tweet on your screen, that Jaden Daniels' visit with the Commanders didn't exactly go too well. According to his agent, the agent sounded off on social media, didn't seem pleased with the Topgolf visit that included nearly 30 prospects. They thought it was going to be a one-on-one meeting between Daniels and Adam Peters and the Commanders' crew. Do you think this stuff necessarily matters really quick in the final minute here?
It matters. Everything you hear that gets reported at this stage matters. Whether or not it's the truth or not, that is the question that is the harder one to answer. I think Adam Peters is a really smart guy.
Absolutely.
I would trust him going through this process for a reason. I think there's a reason he wanted to get all three of these kids in a room together. Call it quarterback Hunger Games if you want. Call it calculated strategery, to quote Will Ferrell. I think it's fun. I hope we get into it a little more later in the show.
We're absolutely going to. When we come back, Alex Barutha from RotoWire going to talk some NBA with us. Joe Serrallo, Jared Smith, you're locked into VSiN Primetime presented by DraftKings.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And for a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up over at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but futures as well. So take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter baseball bets today. Jared and I are certainly going to be bringing some baseball bets to the action in just a little bit here on VSiN Primetime. But first, let's hit that progressive guest line. We've got Alex Barutha joining the show, the chief NBA editor over at RotoWire. Alex, thanks so much for coming on, man. Great to have you. Let's take a look because we are minutes away from this Bulls Heat game. Give us a play on this one that you absolutely love.
Yeah, I think the Heat are going to come away with this one despite not having Jimmy Butler. You know, what they showed against Philly, even though they weren't able to win that game, they really threw him off with the zone. Chicago's obviously not as good as Philly on offense. I think Chicago is going to have its moments. For example, I like Kobe White over 2.5 threes tonight. That's one of my plays. But I just think it's going to be really tough for Nick Vucevic to get off because Bam Adebayo is such a great defender. And, you know, the Heat, I mean, Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the NBA, right? And this Bulls team does not have the sort of upside that Philly had, even with a hobbled Embiid.
Yeah, Alex, I was looking at Bam, his points prop tonight, hovering in the 20-21 range, and he's had good situations before without Jimmy on the floor. I thought the weakness in Chicago's three-point defense was really how I wanted to attack the game from a betting standpoint. But to me, Bam, I think I put an SGP out there, you know, a little pizza money on Bam to go 20 and four assists. I think collapsing on Bam and kicking out tonight, maybe the assist prop for Bam, because I think he's going to be obviously a huge factor in the game without Jimmy Butler. But I'm unsure if the ball will run through him and he'll score or if it'll be more of a distributor role.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he thrives when he can, like you mentioned, force defense to collapse and then kick out.
Yeah.
And I think the ball is going to run a lot more through Tyler Hero. I mean, it has to. He's going to be their best playmaker now, especially from the backcourt, you know, if you don't count Bam. So I imagine, you know, the Heat offense is going to be a lot of Hero and Bam pick and roll, a little bit of pick and pop to the free throw line, some dribble handoffs. So yeah, I think that's going to have to how they're going to have to run their offense. Then everybody else is going to have to hit threes.
Mm.
Alex, you touched on Kobe White. I want to look at the Bulls side and him specifically because he is my favorite prop for this game. You mentioned over 2.5 threes. Got to lay $1.50 on that one. What about his point total? Over under 20.5 points, -110. You know, laying your standard vig right there. This is a guy who in four matchups with the Heat this year averaged 20.5 points, above his season average by about 1.5. He's hit his over in three straight. Are you rolling with the Kobe White magic on points, or are you staying pat with your three-pointers made?
I'm fine going over on points too. I mean, part of the problem for Chicago is going to be that Bam Adebayo, I just assume he's going to lock down Vucevic.
Right.
And if Vucevic is locked down, then you're really only going to get so much out of Alex Caruso. He's just really not an offensive player. Dosunmu is going to have his moments, right? But he's really more of a transition offense guy who can hit some threes. So I think, look, it may not be a pretty shooting percentage for Coby White, but I think he's just going to have to get there by pure volume. But at the same time, Miami's probably going to do everything they can to trap him and make his life hard.
Yeah, Caruso's interesting because Andre Drummond didn't do him any favors the other night, basically treating him like roadkill. I mean, he didn't look good. I don't think he played in for the majority of the second half, or at least he was kind of in and out. So that's another guy to keep an eye on tonight, because if he has to sit, then it really creates an interesting void in that Chicago offense. All right, let's go to the late game. Speaking of voids and offenses, the Pelicans have a big one tonight. I think it's going to be Valanciunas that's going to eat up a lot of that kind of, you know, load in the middle. But you could also make a case for Ingram and McCollum having significantly better games than they did the other night, which they pretty much did nothing.
Yeah, I'm pretty conflicted on this game. I actually think there's a decent chance the Pelicans could win this one despite not having Zion. Just because they are so deep and they can replace a lot of his minutes with, more Herb Jones and more Trey Murphy handling the offense, and that's going to help their defense as well. And I think it's going to help their spacing. You know, Zion's awesome. Like, he had an amazing game against the Lakers, but late in the game, you know, he was just trying to kind of walk into the paint, and the Lakers were playing this like sort of bizarre zone against him where they just put two guys standing right in front of him, and I think it clogged up the Pelicans offense. I could see more out of Valanciunas tonight, because I think it's a better matchup for him going up against Sabonis rather than Anthony Davis, who is a freak athletically and can, you know, make Valanciunas look bad on a lot of plays. It's going to be harder for Sabonis to do that.
He's Alex Barutha on our Progressive Guest Line. Find him on Twitter or X at Barutha Alex, the chief NBA editor over at RotoWire. Sticking with this late game, there's a guy I'm really intrigued by, Keegan Murray. Had an incredible game against Golden State in that 7-8 seed, or rather that 9-10 seed game to earn the right to play tonight. Dropped 32, 8 deep balls in this one. New Orleans comes into action with the number 2 perimeter D in the league. Keegan Murray's total, though, half of what he dropped against Golden State, 16.5. And then on threes, over under 3.5. Your thoughts on Keegan Murray? Is it a stay away for you? Are you going to fade him after his big game? What do you like in the prop market here and with Murray specifically?
I think this could be a fade. You're going up against Trey Murphy and Herb Jones, who are going to, I think, try to lock him down on the perimeter. And look, Murray has had great stretches throughout the season. He's also been pretty inconsistent. I mean, he's only shooting 36% from three on the whole year after shooting 41% from a rookie. So he has plenty of down games. The weakness in New Orleans defense is really at point guard with CJ McCollum, who's not a great defender. And it can be at center with Valanciunas because he's just a lumbering big. He could do fine against Sabonis, I think. So, I think this is a night where you could fade Keegan Murray and maybe look to... I think this could be a huge night for De'Aaron Fox. That's what I thought going up against the Warriors, too. That game didn't exactly turn out how I thought it would. I thought Fox would have a big game and the Warriors would win. But I think this is another spot for him where he really has to step up and do a lot of the playmaking and scoring.
All right, Alex, let's play everyone's favorite game, which is let's poke holes in Jared's NBA portfolio, because he hasn't bet the league all year, and you've been watching it all year, and I could really use the context. So I think the Magic, to me, are a really intriguing bet in the series against the Cavs. I hated what Cleveland did at the end of that situation with the regular season, where they were basically playing to not win the division, which makes absolutely no sense to me. They thought they could beat the Magic, perhaps. I think this Magic team's really good defensively. So I bet the Magic on the series spread, laying 1.5 games. My thought process... they'll get game 6 at home. So I like that spot if it does get to a game 6 and the Magic have a 3-2 lead. Same thing with the Suns. -1.5 on the series spread against the T-Wolves. That one's only +137. But my thinking is, hey, Suns will get game 6 at home and maybe they'll be up 3-2 in the series and we can close that out. Of those two, do you like one? Do you hate them both? Do you like them both?
I would prefer to take the Suns bet. Okay. I think the Suns have had Minnesota's number all season. It's been a problem for Minnesota. Towns, I still don't trust him in the playoffs at all. Meanwhile, I absolutely trust Devin Booker and Kevin Durant in the playoffs. I wish Phoenix closed out the year really well, but most of the rest of the season was highly inconsistent. Still leaves me with some worry, but most of these guys are playoff performers. The Magic one is interesting. A lot of people everybody loves the Orlando Magic. I think Jamal Mosley should be coach of the year, even though I think Dagnall's going to actually win it. I love what Orlando has done. I think this is a bad matchup for them. Partially because they're not a good offensive team, but they're really, they're two places where they generate offense are Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero, who are wings, bigs, kind of bigger forwards, right? That's where Orlando's defense is the best. You're going up against Evan Mobley. You got to deal with Jared Allen in the paint. Orlando doesn't shoot threes very well. That's kind of my concern with them. So that's a spot where I think I prefer the Cavs there.
That's fair.
Sure.
It is 3-1 on it, so I didn't feel terrible right about the bet. But the Suns bet, I agree. That's my favorite of the two.
Alex, sticking in this division, you're a Milwaukee guy. Let's go to your Bucks. Bucks,
oh,
Pacers, Indiana now favorites, laying $1.20 on the Pacers. Milwaukee, even money on the series. But yesterday, we tossed around a little exacta in the studio. It was Indiana to win game one, which I like. I think the Pacers do win game one, especially without Giannis. But the Bucks to win the series, that's +400. What are your thoughts on that exacta? What are your thoughts on the series as a whole?
I would not bet the Bucks to win this series.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do it. I'm not saying I would bet the Pacers, but even as a Bucks fan, I'm completely scared off of betting the Bucks here. I'm pretty sure the way they phrased it with Giannis, I really don't think he's playing in game one or game two. And look, Indiana's had Milwaukee's number all year. They destroyed him in the play-in, embarrassed them. And part of the problem is, not only is Giannis out, Lillard has played terrible against Indiana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're not getting much out of Lillard and Giannis is out, you're going to start running into some big problems. And Indiana exploits what the Bucks are bad at. The Bucks have terrible backcourt defense. That's what Indiana does best. They go up and down the court. So I would not be surprised if Indiana won the series. But I'm with you. I think Indiana wins game one.
I love it. I love it. Alex, in less than 10 seconds, one word answer before you go. Knicks or Philly? Who wins the series?
Oh, Knicks.
I love it.
Knicks win the series, yeah.
I knew I liked you, man. We'll be back. Joe Cirillo, Jared Smith on VSiN Primetime. Don't go anywhere.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make sure to check out Adam Burke's best baseball bets every day over at VSiN.com. Tons of other betting splits, tools, and information over there as well. Check out VSiN.com today. Joe Cirillo here with Jared Smith, VSiN Primetime, taking you up until 6 p.m. Pacific time. Packed show, tons of NFL draft, NBA with tip-off in Chicago, Miami, less than 45 minutes away at this point, but it's time for our best bets.
I see you using an old style.
I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom.
Putting our money where our mouth is.
I like to live dangerously.
It's time for Best Bets.
Come on, Jerry, it's a lock.
All right, time for our best bets here. Got two baseball guys sitting at the desk today. You know there's going to be a lot of money to be made on the diamond tonight. Jared, it actually killed me yesterday. I was making my debut here on the station, and there was one evening baseball game. You had a rainout, Chicago, Miami. The only game was San Fran hosting Arizona. Went 2-0 there with two Logan Webb props over 18.5 outs at plus money, under 2.5 earned runs in that one. What do you have for us on the diamond today?
I mean, we're full Nerfy Yerfy mode here. There's three that I like today. Actually, there's a lot of other the first inning pitches stuff that I like, but let's be honest, that might be a little even too saucy for this audience. But straight Yerfy Nerfy, Brewers Cardinals. I got this at Caesars at -125. I love the pitching matchup tonight. Freddie Peralta has been really the ace of this Brewers staff. 3-0 to the Nerfy this year. Kyle Gibson, you know, not gonna blow you away with his numbers. But the one thing I like about Gibson's stuff is that he's pretty consistent. And this Brewers lineup, that's really the side of the matchup that I like, because now you get the long sample of this Brewers lineup without Yelich at the top. Some guy named Oliver Dunn batting cleanup for Milwaukee tonight. And I just think over time, you are going to see this Brewers offense, which started unbelievably hot. Again, they're scoring in the first inning in like 50% of their games so far. That will not continue. This Brewers offense will tail off, and I think on the road tonight, I guess we'll call it a hostile environment, even though the Cardinals have been a little more tame of late in their last couple of iterations because they just can't make the playoffs. But we look at what St. Louis has done. They haven't scored at home in the first inning yet this year, which is very surprising. It's going to be tough against Peralta. Top of that lineup's usually good, but they haven't been good to start. So we'll go Milwaukee, St. Louis, Nerfy. I'll also give you the Nerfy in Detroit and Minnesota. Great pitching matchup there. Flaherty, Joe Ryan. I don't have to give you much else other than that. Those are two of the aces of those respective staffs. Minnesota, of course, you got to deal with the weather. Target Field. It's a little chilly tonight from what I heard. It's in like the 40s. So that could obviously play a factor anytime you get a chilly spring night in the Twin Cities. So we'll go Nerfy in Minnesota. I got that at minus 120 over at the South Point earlier today. And then finally, early run. I think we're going to see one in Atlanta tonight, who's been relatively tame in the first inning this year. If you recall following me last year, Atlanta's run scoring rate in the first inning was like the best in the history of baseball almost. They were scoring at home in almost 50% of their games. Well, right now, only about 28% through the first handful of games. Now, it's early, but I think Atlanta's offense will improve, and they get just a really favorable matchup tonight against Andrew Heaney, a lefty. I love the righties in that Atlanta lineup, especially at the top. And on the other side, Chris Sale has not been that impressive. He's made three starts. He's allowed an early run in two of those three. And Marcus Semien, right at the top of that lineup, has taken him deep twice. So I think Texas, their lineup's been kind of up and down over the last week or so since that really good a series in Houston. But I think tonight they get on track. Good weather in Atlanta. Heaney, Sale, early run. So Yerfy there, Braves, Rangers, Nerfies, Detroit, Minnesota, St. Louis, and Milwaukee.
I love the calls. I mean, look, especially your two Nerfy calls. I've got some pitcher props for those games. And the Atlanta call, I don't have anything in that Atlanta-Texas game. But obviously this year, small sample size thus far, Braves are bringing back essentially the same lineup from a year ago when they absolutely mashed against left-handed pitching. Yep. I think they can get on the board early against Andrew Heaney. And then Texas, top of that lineup, a guy like Marcus Semien can take Chris Sale deep to open the game.
First and pitch of the game, Semien,
go.
Tater, and we win.
And let's call it right there. Let's get to some pitcher props in on my slate. You mentioned the Nerfy, Minnesota, Detroit. I like Joe Ryan, who just had the best start of his life against these Detroit Tigers, to go over 7.5 Ks at even money. I was leaning on the over under 17.5 outs, laying $1.30 on that, but I don't like the value as much as the even money play on his K total. This Tiger lineup's got a 41% K rate in 66 at-bats against Joe Ryan, and as long as Javier Baez is in any lineup, I'm pretty comfortable taking the opposing pitcher to go over on their strikeouts. I had to endure about 2 months of Javi Baez in Queens, so I've seen plenty of that firsthand. Love Joe Ryan, and then you mentioned Freddie Peralta. I'm taking him to get the win in this one. You can find that at plus value, plus 120, because you look at the other value in this Brewers-Cardinals game, and honestly, not bad value on the Brewers' money line. Laying 120 on that one. First five I would have loved, but you got to lay $1.40 there. I just think here in a game where they're going to win, you said it, Freddie Peralta is the ace of this Brewers staff now. Him to get the win at plus 120. And this is, by the way, just as much of an indictment as it is a praise of Peralta. It's an indictment on Kyle Gibson, because this is a guy who, I'll give him credit, he's been eating innings for the Cardinals so far this year.
He's consistent.
He's consistent to go six innings, 4 to 5 runs. Gave up, what, 7 his last
time
out?
He's not an ace. Sonny Gray is their ace. No. I saw a little sharp money come in on St. Louis earlier today. I don't know if I trust it yet. I have a future on them to win the Central. I don't love what I've seen so far with their offense, but I think their offense is good enough to outpace some of the Kyle Gibson, Miles Michaelis, Lance Lynn clunkers that they're going to inevitably have throughout the course of the year.
And that's just what worries me with this team, is you can have one or two guys in your rotation that are good for an occasional clunker. They've got three, including their opening day starter, Miles Michaelis. Now, I know he's not the ace. Sonny Gray is the ace.
Yeah,
but
Sonny Gray's the ace.
They keep treating Michaelis like it's, what, 2018? When are we going to realize it's been 6 years since that guy was actually good? I think he had one decent year in which he had a losing record since then.
Yeah.
But he just hasn't been good. He was kind of a flash in the pan, and I think a lot of the guys in the Cardinals are over the hill.
Yeah.
Whether it's the rotation or the lineup, Freddie Peralta right now is playing the best ball of his career last year and a half, year and a month, I should say. I love him to get the win. And then I want your take on one other play. I've got Tristan McKenzie, who's been very up and down, very injured last year, of course, over 16.5 outs, only minus 105. I think it's good value. He's at home against the Oakland A's. I like this McKenzie play a lot. I think if he can't do this, then Tristan McKenzie really has some serious, serious issues. 2022, his last full season, averaged 19 outs per game at home. Just asking him to get 17 here tonight.
Yeah, it looks like Oakland's walk rate's about average against righties. That's the one thing with McKenzie that always scares me with the outs prop. And it's always, you know, we go through these, you know, you have two grinders here when it comes to baseball handicapping. And, you know, Greg Peterson, who does the show after this, is in that similar boat. There's so many markets now. It's hard to choose some days kind of when you like a pitcher or you like a hitter, Do you go hits, runs, RBIs? Do you go H, throw the double R, which is my new favorite bet? Do you go the, you know, the outs prop, strikeout? Well, so I think it's about finding the right matchups. Yeah, I don't have an issue with the McKenzie play tonight. I think eventually he's going to put together a 7 or 8 inning gem. He's got one of those in him in Oakland. What did Oakland? Oakland's had a good couple of weeks.
They've been feisty. Don't take opponents -1.5 against Oakland.
No,
that's been biting people.
Yeah, I honestly think with these lineups that are very much the dregs lineups, it's really hard to fade them in the prop markets most days because it's baking it in really hard. I think a lot of these teams, though, you'll see some really interesting trends develop over the next month. I mean, we're still early with the data, right? Like we're still a couple weeks in. Like when we get to like Memorial Day, bingo, we'll know a lot more about if Oakland is feisty or if maybe there's actually some dudes on that team that can hit and they just can't pitch, which is really the issue. But yeah, they've been okay. I think if I recall their first inning, I'll check right now. Their first inning data is pretty good. They're about average in the first inning this year.
Kids are scoring early.
They're scoring early.
It's funny you mentioned Memorial Day too, because I always tell people for baseball, the best months to bet baseball, June, July, and August. I just find those 3 months.
June is my favorite month.
Absolutely.
It really is.
It's like everyone goes on vacation and the odds makers do too. I don't get it. It's just June, July, August. I love betting the MLB.
Because you have enough, but it's not fully baked yet. It's the perfect
September's
middle.
The worst to that point. I mean,
well, there's also a lot of other things going on.
Teams out of the race, playing
that we're
loose.
Focusing on. Yeah, it's baseball's like it's like a roller. You just have to be willing to ride those highs and lows.
I'll take it. I'm 42-31 in April. I will take that in the first 3 or so
That's
weeks
not
of
bad.
The year.
April, I'm down in April, but not much. Yeah. I'm down like a few units so far.
Yeah,
in April.
I'll take that in April. About a minute left here. We're gonna be talking draft after the break with our guest Ligier Douzable, my guy, NFL vet over at CBS HQ now. But you've got some draft best bets too to add to the segment.
Oh yeah, these are. Hold on, let me pull them up here. These are absolutely
action.
Fantastic. Yeah, so I'm kind of in that mode now where the way I feel about the draft is starting to come into focus. It took me about a week or two to kind of wrap my head around some of this stuff, and it took a transition from college basketball into the NFL to where I can really dive into a lot of not as necessarily the players as much as the teams. I say this all the time. Like, I don't care. Like, how I view J.J. McCarthy is completely irrelevant.
Right.
How do the teams view him? So it takes time to catch up. There's a lot of, you know, podcasts and reporter notebooks to read, and it's a lot of information to digest. We'll get to it at some point, maybe in our next segment, but I do think there's a certain rhythm to this draft that's starting to come into focus for me.
And we'll get to it in a few minutes. My guy, Ligier Douzable, 10-year NFL vet, all set to join us. Don't go anywhere. Joe Serrallo, Jared Smith, you're locked in to VSiN Primetime.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray and Jonathan Von Tobel on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action over at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSiN. New customers bet $5, get a $200 bonus bet instantly. That's code VSiN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Joe Cirillo, Jared Smith here, taking you into the evening here. VSiN Primetime live from the Circus Studios, getting ready to talk a little NFL draft with my guy, Ligier Douzable. Jared, I believe we're still waiting to get Douz on the phone. You had a draft best bet, kind of piggybacking off last segment. What do you like on the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, let's talk about Laiatu Latu. And I think this kid is, to me, he's got the upside to be the best defensive player in this draft. I know Dallas Turner right now is the favorite in that market. The issues with Latu was all medical. And from what I've heard, now granted, I'm no doctor, and I don't know any doctors that answered this question. This is all just what we're reading and what we're seeing in the confirmed reports, that the medicals were cleared. And he wasn't even getting, now he could be lying about this, but he said he wasn't even getting questions about his neck that was surgically repaired. And it was kind of along the lines of the Peyton Manning situation. And he didn't get cleared at Washington, sat out for, I think, 2 full years, and then transferred to UCLA, where, again, arguably the best player in the country this year on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, absolutely breathtaking edge rusher, all the upside in the world. So I think if the medicals check out, I bet him last night 3-1 to be the first defensive player taken. And in the real bet, you know, the under 18.5 draft position to me, if the medicals check out on him, I think he could be a top 10 pick. And I think a lot of teams are going to be very high on Latu to be, you know, one of the best, if not the best defensive player in this draft.
Well, let's get some more expert analysis on the NFL draft, especially the defensive side of the ball, from a guy who played 10 years in the league on the defensive side of the ball. We're hitting the progressive guest line. It's my guy, Ligier Douzable. Man, how are you? It's great to see you.
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
Thanks so much for coming on. Hey, Douz, I want to talk defensive side of the ball. Obviously, it's your area of expertise, but you are a Jets guy. Let's talk Brock Bowers first. Jared and I both think he's a near lock to go number 10 to your New York Jets. You get that right now, plus 150 on DraftKings. What do you think? The Jets have a few needs, offensive line being one of them, but do you think Bowers is the pick at 10?
No, I don't think Bowers is the pick at 10, so I'm against you guys on that bet on the plus 150, and I get it, just depending on how the draft board shakes out. Brock Bowers is a hell of a player, right? To me, taking a tight end at the number 10 pick is a luxury pick. When you look at the Jets tight end room, it's actually pretty good. When you talk about, you know, Tyler Conklin being there and how well he played with having, you know, in that quarterback play. And then also Jeremy Rucker, who they took in the third round just a few years ago, I think is going to be a really good player. So I think GM Joe Douglas literally came out today and spoke about the tight end room and how excited he is about it, you know, Rucker going into his third year. And again, when you look at positional value, because that's a real thing, Joe, positional value is a real thing. And I know people will say, well, you can't look at Brock Bowers as a traditional tight end. Well, you know who else they said that about? Kyle Pitts. How's that working out in Atlanta, right? Vernon Davis was another guy that went top 10. When you take a tight end in the top 10 they essentially have to be, you know, foundational. They have to be transcendent, because positional value, we talked about it, right? When you look at some of the positions that go in the top 10, i.e. receivers, quarterbacks, edge rushers, right? You're getting cheap labor for 5 years because you know once they hit the open market, they're getting upwards to $30+ million. Well, you can't say that at tight end, because literally the top of the tight end chain is around like $12-13 million. So it's just like you're setting Brock Bowers up if you take him in the top 10, kind of like the Atlanta Falcons set up Kyle Pitts. Because yes, even though they're outer worldly, right, they're not traditional tight ends, they're more offensive weapons, you still have to have a clear-cut plan for a guy with that skill set, or you're going to have the same issue you got with Kyle Pitts. Where I like tight ends is kind of like where you saw Dalton Kincaid go last year, or David Njoku, back in the first round. Like, to me, Dalton Kincaid had a hell of a first year.
Yeah.
But if he had went top 10, Joe, people would say he didn't have a good year, even though he had 73 catches. Just because when you take a guy in the top 10, they tend to have to be transcendent and actually make an immediate impact in year one.
Making a couple of Jets fans here cry, Leish.
It'll be all right.
Are we going to be okay with Aaron this year? All right, let's move on, because I can have an entire therapy session on years with the Jets. But speaking of therapy, maybe Jaden Daniels had an interesting nugget for his therapist this week with what took place this past week with Washington. I want to get your perspective on this, because they brought in not just Daniels, but other quarterbacks that he's potentially competing with for this exact spot with the number 2 selection, and they all kind of had a kumbaya bonding moment. What's your vibe of this? Are we overreacting, underreacting to Daniels' pushback?
To me, it's just weird. Like, what was the purpose of you doing this? And again, this is new ownership, and when you haven't been in this realm before, you tend to see weird stuff like this, Joe, where like, ownership decides they want to do something like this. And I've known Adam Peters for a few years, and I never saw him do anything like this with San Fran. So it was just really weird. Maybe they just wanted to test the mental fortitude of all these quarterbacks and bring them all in at one time, just to see who would react and how they would react. So I don't know if that means Jaden Daniels essentially failed the test, but are you still not going to take him number 2 overall? Because to me, you'd be ignorant not to do that. I mean, he's the most dynamic player in this draft, and I'm saying that with Caleb Williams most likely going number 1 overall. Nobody is a better athlete in open space than Jaden Daniels, and to me, he has the best footwork and calmest feet in the pocket when you talk about the rest of these quarterbacks that are going to most likely go in the first round. So people are always fascinated with how dynamic he is when he gets in open space, but the thing that I really love about Jaden Daniels is his calmness in the pocket. People don't talk about that enough. Like last year, people didn't talk about C.J. Stroud and how his fundamentals were so much better than everybody's. They were so in awe about the off-platform throws with Bryce Young. But at the end of the day, your job as the quarterback is to sit in the pocket and make throws. And Jaden Daniels does that at a high level. So, I mean, whether they like his response or not, I think they'd be crazy not to take him number 2 overall.
It's 10-year NFL vet Lijae Doosable, my guy. You can catch him on CBS Sports HQ breaking down the game better than anyone. Follow him on Twitter, at Lijae Doosable. Let's talk about the defensive side of the ball really quickly here, because Dallas Turner seemed like a lock to be the first defensive player off the board for a long time. Now, all of a sudden, some people have him going a little later in the first round. You get a guy like Jared Verse. He's picking up some steam. You can get him 4-1 to be the first defensive player taken. What do you think happens on the defensive side of the ball? It seems like it's going to be offense the first 7, maybe 8 picks, but that 8 spot, what do you see happening there?
Yeah, and that's where it comes down to, Joe. I think that's where we may see the first defensive player selected, depending on, caveat to that, Joe, what a team decides to do depending on the big three. And I say the big three, the three receivers, where they fall in their draft. Yep. If one is there past 7, I could see Atlanta taking calls. I think the Jets would be one team that actually is aggressive, that maybe makes a call to the Atlanta Falcons to see what it would cost just to move up 2 spots. Because if you're the Atlanta Falcons, right, and Dallas Turner's the number one defensive player on your board, and it's a much need at the edge position. But if Jared Verse or Latu isn't that far behind, are you comfortable just falling back 2 spots and maybe gaining a pick or 2, right, in draft capital? So we saw the New England Patriots kind of stick it to the Jets last year and make that trade with the Steelers so they would jump up to take the last good offensive tackle in the first round before the Jets actually got the pick. I can see the Jets somewhat doing the same thing, right? And essentially calling the Atlanta Falcons and saying, you know what? What would it take to move up two spots? There's a guy that we're eyeing. We know you most likely are not going receiver. We're not going to go edge rusher. What would it take for us to jump up in front of you or trade with you to jump in front of Chicago, who may take a receiver or an edge guy? So it just depends on what the Atlanta Falcons want to do. To me, Dallas Turner fits perfectly in what Raheem Morris's coaching style is. He's the one guy, when you talk about him, Jared Verse, and Latu, who's more comfortable dropping in coverage. Now, Latu can drop in coverage, and so can Verse, but Dallas Turner did it a lot in at Alabama. And, you know, with Raheem Morris, he's going to ask his edge guys to drop from now and then.
BJ, thanks so much for the time, man. We'll be interesting to see what your Jets do next week. We'll be interesting to see how that first round shakes out, everything from the quarterback drama at number two to the defensive guys when they start flying off the board. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
So, Jared, you're high on Latu.
I am.
What do you make of this whole Dallas Turner situation? Is his somewhat, I would say, public downfall, in air quotes, I would say that. Is that attributing to why you're so high on Latu?
No, I think Latu is just that good of a player, and it was just medicals with him. I think Turner's a fantastic player, too. I think both of them deserve to be top 10 picks. It's a weird draft.
Just because there's not a lot of defensive need up top.
Well, no, there's four quarterbacks in the first four picks. I mean, that I don't think that'll happen, but that's potential. I think four quarterbacks in the first five picks is very unique.
It is very unique. Would be historic if it's four in the first four. When we come back, Chuck Esposito from Stations Casino. Don't go anywhere. Joe Cirillo, Jared Smith, you're locked in to Beast in Primetime.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.